Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tom Kelly, Rob Ellis. This is the afternoon show today in For the Guys. This would be your walk-off song.
Damn right. Damn right.
There you go.
Exactly.
The
second the crowd hears this.
Yeah. Rob like, Ellis is strutting
like
the plate.
Bryson Stott. Yeah, I'm there. I'm sauntering.
There you go.
To the plate.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Talking a lot of Phillies today. Do they need a bat or a bullpen arm or deadline? Also, obviously the Eagles, Nick Sirianni, and whether the Eagles made the right move, bring Nick back this year. And joining us now, Eagles writer and reporter for the Philly Voice, Jimmy Kemski. You can find him at Jimmy Kemski on Twitter. Jimmy, thanks for hopping on with us today, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good, man. Looking forward to this Eagles season. Looking forward to training camp starting in about a week here. And Nick Sirianni spoke a few weeks ago. A lot of that stuff released today. And Jimmy, just to ask you to start off here, what were some of your biggest takeaways from what Nick had to say?
I was kind of bored by it, actually. I read through, because, you know, we did this a few weeks ago, as you said. And I just, you know, forgot about it. And then I read through, you know, we transcribe our own questions and then kind of pass them around among the other beat reporters. And I read through it a few days ago, and I was like, not a lot here. And I just wrote, you know, an article based on what the expectations of training camp are going to be in terms of the number of practices, physicality, that kind of stuff is going to, you know, increase from previous years. Which they've gone light in practices the last few years under Nick Sirianni. Anyway, yeah, I was kind of bored by, honestly, by the interview that we had a few weeks ago. So yeah, I didn't have too many takeaways.
Well, Jim, let's pick up on that one that you just. No, that's all right. Let's pick up on the one that you just mentioned, though, because one of the things Nick said a couple times was you don't want to overcorrect, and. Yeah. You know, he did point out, rightfully so, started off 8-0 and then 5-0. It's not like they've come out of the chute, you know, slumbering here, right? They've started the seasons off pretty well. But he did say, hey, in terms of, I forget what the term that he used, maybe like in terms of intensity during the practice or something like that, we're on the lower scale. It seemed to me like he was saying, we're not going to be any more physical, but we might actually be out there a little bit longer. Is that the way you kind of what you gathered from that, whether it's camp or practice during the week?
So they did have a mini camp this year, which they had canceled the last 2 years at least under Nick. And I don't think the number of practices are going to increase this year. I don't think the intensity of the practices are going to increase substantially. So I think that's all going to be pretty similar. He did mention that after the Patriots game last year, I mean, he said in the post-game press conference after the Patriots game last year that he made a note to himself to revisit whether the starters should get a series or two during the preseason, because they didn't last year at all. Like, the starters didn't play at all, really. Jalen Hurts didn't play at all, certainly, during the preseason last year. The last preseason game he ever played was in 2022, and if you recall, that's when he took like the cheap shot out of bounds.
Yeah, the Jets. Yep.
And then Nick was screaming at Robert Saleh from from the sideline. So that was the last time they played the starters, and he kind of thought that the offense was terrible in that Patriots game week one. They scored one touchdown, and it was after a turnover. Like, it was like a 25-yard drive or something like that. And that was the only touchdown they scored. They had four straight three and outs in that game. And, you know, as we would learn later, we didn't know. At the time, I think we kind of thought that team was average. That team sucked last year.
That Patriots team, you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. They went 4-13. That team sucked. And the Eagles almost lost. They're lucky they didn't lose that game. They're lucky they didn't lose the next game the following week at home against the Vikings. The Vikings fumbled. There were five fumbles in that game.
Justin Jefferson had the one punched out from behind.
Yep, and it went through the back of the end zone, which of course turns into a turnover. It's a crazy rule in the NFL that needs to be changed. But There were five fumbles in that game. The Vikings recovered none of them. So they were lucky. They were fortunate to win that game too. So you can look at the records and go, okay, yeah, they started 8-0 in 2022. That team was awesome, of course. 2023, they started 5-0. But are you looking more at the results over the process on that one? So, you know, they can point to the record, but I think there's something to be said for, you know, them having headed into the season last year, not quite totally ready to play, in my opinion.
Jimmy, obviously, when you look at the end of the year last year, I mean, it was a disaster. Like, everything that could possibly go wrong did go wrong for the Eagles at the end of the season, and the playoff game was kind of a culmination of all of that. Based on the people you talk to and looking at this team, do you think that they feel like they know what went wrong and that it will be fixed going into this season? Do you feel that they feel that way?
I mean, I can look at it just from an outsider's perspective, and I can give you pretty obvious, you know, answers on, you know, what went wrong. I mean, defensively, they made an insane change at defensive coordinator, you know, with six games to play or whatever it was. They tried to make significant changes on their defense schematically, and like, that was never going to work. It's insane that they even tried to do that. Okay, so if Sean Desai wasn't working out, I get it, but you at least run his defense in some way. They just didn't do that. And then offensively, I think, you know, they were, I mean, Nick basically admitted that it got stale and vanilla, and they kind of ran out of ideas. And not only that, like, they just couldn't handle the blitz at the end of the year last year. Teams blitzed them. They had no answers for it. They had no quick options for Jalen Hurts to hit receivers quickly. It seemed like any time they blitzed, his first instinct was, let me get out of here. Tried to, you know, roll typically to his right and throw on the run. It just didn't work. And it was just schematically, offensive, defensively, they got out-coached. They got outplayed. They just got outclassed in almost all those games down the stretch. So, you know, I think there was a lot of different factors at play. But I think, you know, first and foremost, it was the coaching staff that kind of let them down. And certainly the players, I thought, didn't perform all that well either. But, I mean, it was just a total collapse from the coaches to the players. But if you ask me, I think it kind of started with the coaching staff and just a lot of the decisions that they made. And they hired the wrong people before the season began, and it all fell apart as we saw. But as far as their understanding of what happened, yeah, I think they kind of get it. I think they understand that, you know, that they made a lot of poor choices both before the season and during the season, and it bit them in the end.
Jimmy, I think we all have an expectation for the offense. There's a lot of talent on that side of the ball, but
yep.
Defensively. Man, there's a lot of question marks. You know, you lost your best sack man. We don't know. Yep. You know, Josh Sweat took a step back last year, just in terms of numbers at least. You're counting on a lot of unknowns, whether it's Nolan Smith, whether it's Nakobe Dean, whether it's Jordan Davis, whether it's whomever lines up opposite of Slay, et cetera. Now, it does seem like, at least in the secondary, there's some options there. But give me your best feel, your take here for what you think about this defense under Vic Fangio.
So I think my biggest concern, if I'm the Eagles, is the defensive line. And, you know, you mentioned the edge rushers, of course, with Hassan Reddick and Josh Sweat to play too many snaps. I mean, he's just not equipped to play as many snaps as he did last year. I think he's best used in moderation. They'll understand that. I think he has a chance to have a bounce back here, as long as they manage the number, his playing time. Hassan Reddick, I mean, for the 2022 season, you include the playoffs. That guy's the best defensive player in the league that year. I mean, his play fell off pretty substantially in 2023, and certainly his numbers reflected that. But he had 19 and a half sacks, and I think it was like six or seven forced fumbles if you include the playoffs. And he totally wrecked the game in the NFC Championship game. I mean, it's really hard guy to replace, and they're replacing him with a guy, Bryce Huff, who, you know, sort of a one-year wonder at this point. He played, you know, as an undrafted free agent rookie. You know, he's always had a little bit of a role, but he had a breakout season last year. One-dimensional player in that he just rushes the passer. You know, didn't really play much on early downs for the Jets. So, you know, potentially a liability against the run. We'll see if he can, you know, add to that part of his game. But for me, the interior of the defensive line is where I'd be concerned, because you have three guys there that really need to step up in Jordan Davis, in Jalen Carter, and Milton Williams. So Jalen Carter, we saw last year, can be awesome. Like, that guy has all pro talent. Kind of fell apart at the end of the year last year. Like, conditioning was a concern. Conditioning not as much of a concern with him as it was with Jordan Davis, like, who every coach that we've spoken to, whether it's Vic Fangio, the D-line coach, Nick Sirianni, and Jordan Davis himself, they've all said with him that the focus for him this offseason is conditioning. So if he gets out of shape, again, like, say he's 350, and he said he weighed more than that last year. They don't want him weighing 350 even. So if he was substantially more than 350 pounds last year, he was way out of shape. So you're now counting on those guys heavily to play a lot of snaps now that Fletcher Cox is gone. Fletcher Cox is averaging like 800 snaps per year over his career. So somebody's got to eat up those snaps. And to be determined if those guys can do it, like, Jordan Davis can be a great player potentially in September and October, but is he still going to be good in November, December, January? So that's a big, you know, thing to answer. And then Milton Williams is sort of the third guy in that mix. I think a lot of people thought he was going to have a breakout year last year, and he did some nice things against the run. But, you know, like, one sack, and I think that that's what he had, one or one and a half. Or actually 0.5, I think it was. And, like, six QB hits. It's just not good enough for the kind of talent that he has. So those three guys really have to step up, play well, and play a lot.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Jimmy Kemski joining us now, Eagles writer and reporter for the Philly Voice, at Jimmy Kemski, where you can find him on Twitter. And Jimmy, I wanted to flip it back to the offensive side for a minute. You talked about the interior of the defensive line, but how about the interior of that offensive line? Because we talked a lot about the talent the Eagles have added on the offensive side, and obviously Saquon Barkley, Kel Moore, the new offensive coordinator. But Jason Kelce, we talk about his impact off the field, but how big of a loss is that going to be for this team on the field, not having that guy up front like they have the last decade plus?
Yes, I think if you're looking at a player like Cam Jurgens and you didn't already have Jason Kelce on the team for the last 13, 14 years or whatever it was, I think a lot of people will be excited about what he is as a player and his skill set. But when you're replacing one of the best centers ever and one of the best Philadelphia Eagles players ever, there's going to be a drop-off. I mean, let's just be real. Like, it's just a matter of how there's a drop-off and how much of a drop-off there is, whether it's, you know, making calls at the line or so physically. I think he can do a lot of the same things that Jason Kelce can do in terms of, you know, pulling to the outside, getting to the second level, running out in front of screens. I don't think they have to change what they do schematically and what they ask their center to do in the offense, but there's going to be some kind of drop-off in play from Kelce to Jurgens, because of course there is. Jason Kelce's been, you know, the best center in the NFL since 2017 season-ish, somewhere around there. So there's going to be some kind of drop-off. And then, you know, they have a question mark at right guard to be determined who's even going to win that job, whether it's Tyler Steen, whether it's Mekhi Becton, Matt Hennessy. Those are kind of the guys that are in that mix for that starting job. The rest of the line obviously is awesome. Like, they have the best offensive tackle duo in the NFL, I think by far, in Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson. And then, of course, Landon Dickerson is, you know, just a solid, dirty work kind of, you know, made a couple Pro Bowls the last 2 years in Landon Dickerson. So, I mean, it's still one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. But, you know, I think Jurgens has some questions to answer. Even if he's good, there's going to be a drop-off in play. And then right guard is a question. But I think when you look at other offensive lines around the league, people would kill to have the Eagles offensive line. Like, I think it's like the Eagles and the Lions are like one and two in whatever order you prefer. And then there's a big drop-off to whoever you have at three.
Jimmy, let's go to the guy they're protecting, Jalen Hurts. And it was, you know, it was certainly wouldn't be what you would call a bad season, but the turnovers piled up, the issues with the blitz, whether that was him horrible coaching, you know, whatever, not necessarily going through progressions, looking lost in the pocket at times. What do you expect from him this year? I mean, he's going to be with Kellen Moore. He's got a lot of talent. You mentioned, yes, there are some questions with the line, but there's a lot of talent surrounding him. Do you think he looks more like 22 Jalen or 23 Jalen?
I mean, the talent is so, it's such a big thing that around him. It's going to be, it's almost got to be hard for him to fail. I mean, he's got, like, I mean, I just said he's got either the best or the second best offensive line in the NFL. He's got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert. He's got Saquon Barkley now in the backfield with him. So if he can't perform in an offense with all those pieces, then where are you going to perform? So, yeah, I think, like, you know, 2022 comes around, and we're like, okay, well, the Eagles found their quarterback of the next decade. And then 23, as you mentioned, like, there's a big drop-off. Everyone, offense, defense, you know, almost every player on both sides of the ball did not play well during you know, that last month and a half of the season. And he's not excluded from that. And, you know, whether you want to put the lion's share of the blame on the scheme or the coaches, he's part of that too. Like, I don't think he played well individually either in those games. So he's certainly ripe for criticism as well. And then I think the one thing that he could always hang his hat on, you know, whether he performed or not, was his leadership skills. And those kind of came into question at the end of the year last year. So, yeah, there's a lot for him to prove. I think, you know, you look at 2021 training camp, he was, you know, taking over for Carson Wentz. It was kind of a tryout year. 2022 got another chance at a tryout year because they couldn't trade for Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson, made the most of it that season. Last year, nobody cared about Jalen Hurts. It was like, okay, well, they got their guy. Was not a big focal point of training camp, and now this year it's going to be all eyes on him once again, because he's got to have a huge bounce back season from you know what he showed at the end of the year last year, and he's got to prove that he can be a leader again. He's got to prove that he can, you know, make just the throws from the pocket. I think he's got to prove that he can be the runner that he was. You know, I think he had an injury last year that probably affected him a little bit. So, you know, if he can head into this season healthy with a clean slate, you know, we'll see if he can turn it around, but. Yeah, he's got a lot to prove this year after a season, after, you know, heading into last season with a lot of the pressure kind of off of him a little bit.
Well, it'll certainly be an interesting year. We'll be reading and following along. Jimmy Kemsky, Eagles writer and reporter for the Philly Voice, at Jimmy Kemsky, where you can find him on Twitter. Jimmy, thanks for hopping on, man. We really appreciate it today.
Yep, guys. Yep, appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
Take it easy. So that's Jimmy Kemsky for the Philly Voice, and some interesting stuff there, Rob. My mouse isn't working.
No, that's okay. I mean, yeah, I just to pick up on a couple of things, you know, that Jimmy had to say there. I you know, look, when it comes to Jalen, I do think he bounces back this year. I don't know where you are, Tom, but I think he bounces back this year. I don't know if he's going to get to quite 22. Just felt magical for everybody. Him, the defense, I mean, everything. And I'm not going to say like everything fell in place where they got lucky. No, they earned every bit of it. But things just really kind of were at a peak. I don't know that you can get there, but I definitely think he'd be better than last year. I think he can take care of the ball better, and I think some good instruction in the pocket will help him immensely. Like, I think Kellen Moore is going to be big for him. I think having the trust of Saquon Barkley, where he's not afraid to dump the ball off to him and take 5-7 yards, mm-hmm, as opposed to a sack or something, or forcing a turnover, I think it can change him dramatically in a good way. And, you know, that injury thing is a real mystery. You know, he didn't look the same physically, right? But he didn't get surgery. He played in the pro, whatever you want to call the Pro Bowl, whatever it was, flag football. He was out there running around. Like, I just don't know exactly what it was.
Yeah, and I think ultimately, I mean, I don't know if there's anything physically wrong with him because, I mean, they haven't said anything.
Yeah.
So I'll assume if they're not saying anything that he's well enough to play. And if he's well enough to play, he's got to play better. And that's where I'm at with this, Rob, is I don't really care whose fault it was anymore, what went wrong, like who did what. We're at the point now where we all just got to move on. And they got to find a way to make it work. And I think it will be able to work as long as everybody's on the same page here. Like Kellen Moore, like you said, he's a huge addition. I mean, he is an offensive coordinator who's shown he's capable at this level and capable of having a team and an offense play at an extremely high level. And I think it's going to put everybody in a better situation to do their job. Nick Sirianni, first and foremost, and that's our Twitter poll question of the day. Did the Eagles make the right choice bringing Nick Sirianni back? Find him at R. Ellis Sports on Twitter, at Tommy Kelly 44. Twitter question of the day is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. Shop the home team and support local business at Mark's. Locations in Montgomeryville, PA, and Mount Laurel, New Jersey, online at marks-jewelers.com. Right now, 60% of the audience saying yes.
You surprised?
Eagles did. I am surprised.
I thought it would be more negative. I thought more no than yes thus far.
Well, just judging by the people that we talked to and the general sentiment, I mean, I am surprised at the results because it seems like most people that at least we've spoken to seem to think that it's not the right move. But who knows? Maybe as we get closer to the season, people are seeing things a little differently.
Yeah, and again, I'm in favor of him coming back, but I thought more people would say no. All right, look, we'll get a timeout.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be back on at the other side, and we'll continue talking Phils for you. Mm-hmm. We're going to reset the table for you. Talking about the Phillies at the deadline, would you rather have a bullpen piece or a bat? I'll get my voice in order a little
bit.
Right. Man, I don't know what
happened. Yeah, I'm Tom Kelly.
Yeah, that's exactly what just happened there. But would you rather have a bullpen piece or a bat at the deadline? And also with Nick Sirianni, was it the right move to bring Nick Sirianni back? And when we get back, I have a sports complaint that I need to get into.
Oh,
from something I was watching last night. That is, it's the dumbest thing in sports. And I challenge anybody to give me one single thing that is dumber than what I am about to provide to you when we get
back. I can't wait to hear this.
And I need your opinion.
And also, outside the box, not a baseball player who could hang in a home run derby.
Right. There you go.
Another sport, an actor, whatever.
A non-baseball player. Yeah, not Jamie Kennedy. What was that, Bam?
Riley Green, the country singer who went nuts in batting practice a couple weeks ago.
Right.
I went A.J. Brown, who was drafted by the, I think it was the Padres.
And Bam
was
a really good player
in high school and college.
Jamie Kennedy.
That's right. That's what we have thus far.
For what reason?
He's from Delaware County.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Tom Kelly, Rob Ellis, this is the Afternoon Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.